Good morning.
Wow,
group participation, I love it. This is the 2018 State of the City message. It is at its core a statement of policy recommendations for programs and priorities which, in the opinion of the city manager, will be a benefit to the city, as defined in the city charter. It's an opportunity for me to report to the city council, thus the community, the good work that we've been doing and the impact that we've had as an organization dedicated to the well-being of our community. I view my role as city manager very much through the lens of stewardship. One of the city's six core values is stewardship. We define that as being responsible with the resources the community entrusts to us. But you know, I particularly like this amalgam of many definitions. It says, to be a steward is to be entrusted with resources you do not own, that you cannot profit from, in order to serve. I think that describes perfectly what the city government aspires to be. So applied here in Columbia, residents trust us with their sales tax, their property tax, the fees and rates, and they expect the best possible service in return. And as stewards of those resources, your city staff is frugal because we're a very low tax city. We use the most effective, efficient means we can find, we have to provide each service. So this can be seen in the number of our services that are accredited and the satisfaction our residents feel when they receive those services. So I'm going to overview some of that here. When asked about how satisfied our residents are with the quality of city services, 73% of respondents are satisfied or very satisfied. Now, compared to the Missouri-Kansas average of 46% and the U.S. average of 49%, our staff is setting the bar for high-quality service. I'm particularly proud of our city's employees in this regard. But they provide this high level of service with significantly less property tax revenue than their counterparts receive in other cities. Columbia has an average amount of sales tax for cities in Missouri, 2%. Columbia also has one of the lowest property tax rates in the state, 41 cents per $100 of assessed value. We charge half the property tax that most cities in Missouri charge, and far less than any of the 10 largest cities in the state. Our residents acknowledge this as well. When we ask about their satisfaction with the value received for their tax dollars and fees, our residents report significantly more satisfaction than residents in the Missouri-Kansas average or the U.S. average. So to achieve these high levels of satisfaction, our departments continually seek out the best methods and processes we can find to provide our services. Perhaps the best method to judge performance in city governments through the lens of accreditation. Accreditation is an exhaustive performance audit process conducted by independent, nationally recognized, and sometimes internationally recognized organizations. They represent the highest endorsement that local government services can receive. To achieve accreditation, organizations must demonstrate conformance with, again, nationally and internationally recognized best practices. Originally recognized for excellence in 2001, our Public Works Department has been accredited longer than any other in Missouri. Other accredited departments include the city's water utility, sewer utility, stormwater utility, solid waste utility, the Community Development Department, Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Health and Human Services Department, and the Economic Development Department. And over the course of the next 2 years, we will very likely see police and fire departments join that list, as well as Parks and Rec. So once these three achieve the result, all the departments of the city that can be accredited will be. Pretty proud of that. Stewardship's also evident in our major strategic plan goal to reduce poverty in Columbia. We've made remarkable progress. There we go. When we started our plan just 3 years ago, we were shocked that African-American unemployment, can we go back to that one? There we go. Was 15.7%, when white unemployment was just 4.4%. So we chose to do something about that, do something more than we had previously done. to address this gap. We focused on the creation of living wage jobs. And I'm happy to report we made big progress. Today, African-American unemployment in Columbia is just 8%, single digits for the first time that we have found. We couldn't do this without all of our partners who've been engaged in anti-poverty work for a very long time. I'd like this year to highlight one of our heavy hitters when it comes to battling poverty, our very own Heart of Missouri United Way. I've asked Executive Director Andrew Graybaugh to tell us how they've helped drive this reduction in the unemployment gap through their community impact model. And
appreciate it. All right, thank you, Mike, and good morning, everyone. United Way's work in making sure that we fight for everyone in our community has led us down an important path over the last 6 years. And I wish to share today just some stories and some news on how we convene and lead with our hearts and make strategic goals based on data. And we help individual lives and therefore our whole community. This idea of convening the whole community under common goals and metrics cannot succeed unless everyone is involved. And that means getting out into our neighborhoods. So let me give you an example. United Way handed out ice cream at the corner of Whitegate and Sylvan as a way of increasing community engagement. And during this first weekend, a young man came up to me and asked what we were doing in his neighborhood. After sharing our goals and talking to him about ours and his as well, he not only asked for ice cream, but then he asked if he could have one of our Live United t-shirts. And as we talked furthermore back and forth and I gained his trust, he finally said to me, "Do you know the story about the kid who was shot twice in the back of the neck?" And then he said, "Well, that was me." He proceeded to lift up his long hair and showed me the large bandage on the back of his neck. And then I'll never forget what he said next. "Thank you for showing up. We need more people to show up and just tell us that they care." So a few weeks later, we were back out there, and I saw him once again, and not only was he wearing the Live United t-shirt, but he told me he had applied for work and was trying to get a job. So, you see, just showing up is important, and I'm proud of our community because we show up. And in fact, the nonprofit sector and its thousands of volunteers have been showing up for decades. United Way works and coordinates with 54 agencies that are vital in our anti-poverty work and employment efforts. And together, we take our groundwork and apply it to community numbers and then invest in programs. For example, while unemployment is historically low, and I'm proud of that, I'm proud of the leadership from the city in helping us to get to that number, we still have 39% of our citizens that live at 200% below the federal poverty guideline, or $24,120 a year for one person. So United Way and our partners, we look at this data and we invest in programs and we measure the progress in addressing entrenched generational poverty. And in so doing, we've got some great stories to tell. United Way programs have reported that 83% of youth and young adults were successfully employed within 90 days. And we're talking about careers, not just jobs. We were providing readiness programs for youth and young adults with disabilities, whose median earnings are almost half of those with no disability. We're investing in programs to help teenage mothers and foster children graduate from high school, and these programs have close to a 100% success rate in doing so. We know that getting that diploma is the very first step in altering someone's life and setting them up for higher earnings. So, in other words, we're addressing the current challenges that are threatening the future by making strategic investments today. In using data, we measure and make sure there's impact. United Way, along with the City of Columbia and Boone County, work closely to make sure we coordinate services, eliminate duplication, and link our investments to community-wide indicators. Stephanie Browning and Steve Hollis, and as well as Kelly Wallace from Boone County, have been instrumental in this partnership. And so you can go to booneindicators.org, right here you see on the slide, to see the dashboard and the work that we're doing along with the University of Missouri in having a central source for monitoring community data. And let me be clear, this data-focused approach truly works. So as Dr. Stiepelman spoke last year and shared that Columbia graduation rates have exceeded 90%, You know, it's in part because of their great work, but it's in part also because of the all hands on deck approach that we're taking in our community. And to demonstrate that, last year, United Way invested over 70,000 hours in tutoring and mentoring in strategic programs to help in preparing our kids to be life ready. It also includes non-academic programs that are linked to mental health, financial stability, and basic needs. So we look at community indicators and data in thinking global. Then we invest in individuals in a way in acting local. We all know Douglas High School, just right down the street, and what a remarkable asset it is to our community. In the last 7 years, graduation rates at Douglas have gone from 22 students to 84 just this past semester. Recently, Principal Erica Neville and I met with a student at Douglas, and she was holding a $200 paycheck, and it was every cent that she had. This young woman living with another family member was asking if she should cash it for a Walmart gift card or hide that money under her mattress. Obviously, she needed help. Because of the relationships that we fostered in the community, we were able to connect her to a nonprofit agency that specializes in financial stability, then take her down to Commerce Bank, help her open up an account. You see, helping individuals like this in our community, it happens every day, but it is not by luck. It's due to our deliberate convening and organizing and partnerships, and that must be maintained. We must nurture it, and it must be focused so we as a community can act in unison. And this is important, my final point. This is important because poverty is a persistent foe that has and will aggressively take hold and root if we don't continue to coordinate our fight in addressing immediate needs and looking down the line at the future. So I want to commend Mike, the city and his staff, Mayor Brian Treese and the City Council as well for your leadership and continued work in helping everyone to have an opportunity for all who need it. And we are making progress. I want to assure everyone that. We are making progress, but there's still much work to be done. So I'm going to end it today by giving everyone a call to action. Your call to action today is to be part of the solution. I want everyone to figure out how to give, how to advocate, how to volunteer, to continue to live united. And there's an opportunity to do so tomorrow. Your first opportunity. Tomorrow is our third annual Rock the Community event at Douglas Park. And United Way, the city, along with the partners that you see listed on this slide, are supporting this event. There's going to be a job fair. Our agencies are going to be there with tables. It's going to be a great, positive atmosphere. So I hope to see everyone there. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. We would not be the city we are without the United Way. Thanks for everything you do. Okay, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. So other partners, you know, we all know the great work United Way does. We have so many other partners that pitch in and help in the ways the city can't move the needle on. So Moberly Area Community College is an organization that does a tremendous amount of work. Columbia College, Stevens College, the University of Missouri, all of our poverty-focused nonprofits such as Central Missouri Community Action and Job Point, and of course the city's efforts to create quality jobs. This whole point about working together, creating a multiplier effect, we've been able to make an impact and be true stewards of our community. It's always good to reflect on some of what we've accomplished in the past year. And so I want to stress, even with the shrinking resources we have, and I'll come to that more in a bit, as I contemplated the state of the city, I kept thinking about the Community Scholars Program. This is something that one of our staff members, Assistant City Councilor Rose Wibbenmeyer, came up with. And it's an idea on how to better serve kids in our community who are working toward the A-plus scholarship program offered by the state of Missouri. In case you're not familiar with the A-plus program, it provides funds to eligible graduates of designated high schools to attend a community college or a vocational technical school. The one requirement to receive the scholarship is 50 volunteer hours, 25% of which can come from job shadowing. So to assist these students, Rose partnered with staff at Hickman High School, who are here today, thank you for coming, to organize job shadowing opportunities in the city. In addition, Hickman High School staff provided additional support to these students throughout their high school careers to meet the other requirements to receive the A-plus scholarship. So I'd like to show you a short video about last year's effort.
Community Scholars Program is like a way for kids to like get a job or like to see like what they want to do in life. Because a lot of kids like now they say they want to be an astronaut or a fireman or something like that. But like let's say when they get older and they try the Columbia Scholars Program, they might want to be something else. Like maybe a police officer. They might find that cool, or a doctor. So I guess it's like a way to like really see what you want to be like when you grow up.
My name is Tony Grignani, and I am the principal of Hickman High School. My relationship to the Community Scholars is I am the academic component of the program. It's all focused on getting students A-plus eligible. To be A-plus eligible, you have to meet certain academic criteria. The other component of that is some sort of service or tutoring that you can do, and you need 50 hours of that, and that was where we partnered with the city.
I heard about the program through Rose Wibbenmeyer, who kind of was the champion of this program. I think that something like this is a rare opportunity for our youth to be part of, and a rare opportunity for employees, too, to interact and show them what we do.
I was kind of nervous at one point. You know, I never really had anybody watch me work, but the nervousness quickly went away, and it became fun and interesting. To see the way these kids learned and watched and reacted to the way that we worked.
I job shadowed a construction worker, and I learned that like you have to like mix the cement before you like pour it. You gotta wear like these light green vests, so then like at dark time cars can see you coming.
This is a job that people need to do, and they need to learn how to do it. And I think with giving kids opportunities, I think it'll benefit this type of work in the long run.
If I don't like get into the job I want to get in when I grow up, then that'd be like a job to like fall back on.
The students that we had this summer were eighth graders last year, so they are going to be freshmen this coming school year. But this started to get the wheels turning for those kids of what am I interested in? What am I not interested in? Because so many of them, basketball player, rapper, a YouTube channel, I mean, those are their ideas of careers. And this gave them an opportunity to see that there's so many things out there.
I did not know anything about GIS in high school. Usually, younger people kind of understand what Google Maps is, and they have some understanding or maybe some interest, but they don't really know how that's actually applied in a real job setting. So I think it's great that at least these kids are getting exposed to at least some potential career opportunities that I didn't know existed until I went to college.
This program opened my eyes, you know, for me to like see what I could do in the future. One thing I learned is how to work a camera. I got to take pictures of other students working.
For someone who might be interested in what I do, maybe they like photography, or maybe they like writing, telling stories, that kind of thing. So we take those simple ideas of things they might like or they think they might like, and we can show, okay, well, if you like writing stories, this is part of my job that I do to write stories.
So after each experience, I had them write a reflection, and I just had some questions, some prompts for them to think about and then to respond to. And I was surprised at how many of them really enjoyed it. Things that I never would have thought that they would have enjoyed. Like we had one student who she was very adamant about daycare, healthcare, like those types of careers. But she was placed with City Channel and loved it, really liked it. And I mean, that's something that she never would have probably done. Not saying that this is a career field that she would go into, but it just opened her eyes to there's other things and how maybe she could bridge healthcare with what she did observe.
For students coming into the program, I would give them the advice of be curious, ask questions, be open. I think it's a great opportunity for these kids because It's not something that everybody gets to experience. It's pretty rare. Some of our departments do internships, but they're for older kids or college students. But this really one-on-one time with city employees showing these kids what we do, you know, hopefully we can instill some excitement in these kids of potentially maybe working for the city one day. And if we can instill that early, maybe we'll have some city employees on our hands.
Well, this program demonstrates the stewardship I look for from city employees. A lot of credit here. Even with the limited resources we have, this idea received the Missouri Municipal League's Innovation Award for 2017. So I'm really proud of that. Look forward to watching the program succeed as we move forward. And maybe we'll even spark interest, as Sarah said, in those students for city work someday. So if I could, well done, Rose. Would you mind standing up? And Tony, please, our partner, Hickman. Really appreciate all the city staff and high school staff that assisted in those shadowing opportunities. So, you know, this word keeps coming up. I say it a lot, stewardship. I'm particularly proud of the improvement that we see in citizen satisfaction with our efforts in customer service throughout the city. 68% of our residents are satisfied or very satisfied with the level of customer service they receive from city employees. That's 26 points higher than the Kansas-Missouri average, 18% higher than the U.S. average. Another way to say that is our residents are significantly happier with the service they receive than their counterparts are in other parts of the country. The implementation of our contact center has had a powerful impact on the survey statement, "It was easy to reach the right person at City Hall." So due to the great work of our folks in the contact center, the number of people who agreed or strongly agreed rose from 57% to 66% in just 1 year. And only 47% of our residents agreed with that when we started asking the question in 2005. The contact center, combined with the work of our community policing initiative, which I'll get to here in a minute, has had a dramatic impact on the number of calls for service to 911. So look at that. Over the last 4 years, the number of calls we handled in the police departments dropped by more than 4,800. We still have an amazing number of calls, and I'll get to that in a minute, too. So overall, the state of our city is one where people are generally happy, generally love the service they receive for their tax dollars, and they know how to get the city government's help if they need it. So we continue to move the needle of service in a positive direction. And that really sums up the current state of the city. And now, as we turn our attention to the other part of that charter language, So as we look toward the future, there are three priorities facing us in the coming year, which will need particular attention. So the need for a drinking water ballot is one, the need for expansion in fire and police services, and the need for the city to diversify its revenue base away from our current reliance on sales tax are critical. Columbia is in an enviable location when it comes to water. Unlike many places in the U.S., water here is plentiful, and our source for drinking water starts out cleaner than most. This enables us to make the water high quality for a relatively low cost. Once again, survey results attest to this. However, a fair bit of our drinking water infrastructure is well past its useful life. Some of it dates from the early 1970s, and we must replace old equipment, add water towers to maintain water pressure for residential use, but more importantly, fire department use, and work to regain the capacity we naturally lose over time from wells and the treatment plant. So these projects will cost a little over $48 million and therefore will require the use of bonds to finance that level of expenditure. So if voters approve the water ballot issue, a rate increase of 11% would occur over the course of the next 4 years, 3% each year for 3 years, and then 2% in the fourth year to pay for the bonds. This would cost the average residential ratepayer $3.25 per month when fully implemented. Now, as the city has grown over the years, the fire department has added staff and stations. Our goal is to provide the maximum amount of geographic coverage such that times to calls for help are average around 4 minutes. And it's time now to add stations and staff to keep up with the growth the city has seen. We have the capacity in our public improvement fund to build a fire station at the location it's needed most, which is east of Highway 63 and south of Interstate 70. The staffing needed to operate the station exists now, and building and staffing the station will be included in the proposed budget I will transmit to the City Council in July. Now, planning ahead, we included a project in the capital improvement sales tax ballot to purchase land in the southwest part of the city to locate a municipal service center, which includes a fire station. I'll recommend a method to accelerate this land purchase in my proposed budget as well. Now, as we turn our attention to the police department, I do have to stick with the survey and point out that satisfaction with crime prevention has gone down over time. Our survey respondents also tell us that it's the most important police service to provide. So it's important, but satisfaction is low. So what have we done to address this? Well, we created the Community Outreach Unit at the Police Department, a dedicated group of officers who get to focus most of their time on building relationships with our residents, building trust with some of our most stressed neighborhoods. It was not without some angst that we pulled 6 officers out of patrol and assigned them to this unit. They will tell you if you ask them. And after all, when you compare our calls per officer to other cities, we have some of the highest call volumes there are. Doing the work of community policing means you're not going to answer 911 calls on a regular basis. Now, you may be called to respond when you're needed during your shift. But we've seen amazing things happen in Columbia with the work of this team. Over the last 2 years, the 3 neighborhoods in which our officers are assigned have seen a 22% reduction in the 8 categories of crime we track the most. The city as a whole has only seen a 6% reduction. So another way to look at this is, if the total citywide drop in the number of crimes, 45% of the drop occurred in the neighborhoods with community policing. Now, that said, we did see an increase citywide in homicide and larceny, and also in 2 of the strategic plan neighborhoods. Now, even though homicides did not exceed the standard deviation, meaning statistically it's a normal year, it's still deeply troubling to have 9 homicides in 2017. Nearly all of those, by the way, involve the sale of drugs. We do have some good news. Thanks to a grant from the Department of Justice, we added 2 officers to the Community Outreach Unit. So these officers are working in the area bounded by Highway 63, Paris Road, and Interstate 70. We're also going to begin the construction of the new police station in the 2nd Ward at the intersection of Rangeline Street and International Drive. This decentralization of the department is aimed at improving response times and citizens' proximity to officers where possible. Finally, the City Council has passed the Community-Oriented Policing Resolution, which directs me to conduct a 6-month process to design a citywide community-oriented policing program for the Columbia Police Department. Also includes a transition plan, a timeline, a budget for modifying current department policies, procedures, operations, and implementing the new program, as well as an evaluation process that includes goals, objectives, and measurable outcomes. The work we're now engaged in should result in a compelling vision for the future of policing in Columbia. If the City Council places that vision before voters, it will be the community's decision whether to pay for that vision or to have us struggle on as we are. I want to compare other cities in Missouri to us. We have a very low property tax rate. You've heard me say that. And this means the owner of a home in Columbia pays a lot less in property tax than they would if they lived in the same house in 26 other cities in Missouri. In fact, the Daniel Boone Regional Library and I'm not saying anything bad about the library, love my library, but they receive more funding each year from property tax than the city government does. Well, that gives you a sense of how little we raise in property tax. When you look at your total property tax bill, the city's portion is close to 6% of that. So here's a comparison of the 10 most populous cities in Missouri. If we could, there we go. So as you can see, Columbia is the fourth largest city and the fastest growing, of course. Yet we have the lowest property tax rate by far. In fact, the average of these cities is $1.09 per $100 of value. That's more than double our tax rate. While we take some pride in this fact, it also explains a great deal about why we have such low levels of staffing and lower pay than many cities, even in police and fire departments. You know, for example, O'Fallon and St. Peter's don't have city fire departments, which is our second largest general fund expense. So Columbia's sales tax, we should look at that, that's what we rely on, is average for Missouri, but producing less and less funding due to the majority of taxable transactions now moving to the internet and the fact that those online retailers do not have to pay sales tax to cities. So retail is suffering across the country as well. And as is the writing of this speech, we're on pace to see America double the amount of retail space that closes this year over last year. Last year was a record in retail closures. Both years, we're going to see more retail closures than we experienced in the worst year of the Great Recession in 2008. So our strategy for decades has been to rely on sales taxes and how fast the city grows to keep our property tax rate to the minimum. That strategy is no longer capable of moving us forward or even keeping pace with the needs of our community. In 2 months, I will deliver a budget recommendation to the City Council aimed at addressing this unsustainable financial situation. So in summary, city staff's keeping faith with the community to the extent that resources allow. We provide industry-leading stewardship with 9 accredited departments and bar-setting resident satisfaction. Our survey also says that our community is starving for more community policing and better roads. Unfortunately, there just are fewer dollars to do that, and there will be less each year until we either pay sales tax on internet purchases or switch to a property tax. So going forward, we may not be able to meet citizen expectations in some areas. Our purchasing power does not match demands for service. Our residents should expect less service from city government in future years. After all, we as a community are not actually buying much of it. Well, that's the message I want to leave with you today. So thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I will take questions in the lobby. I had a lot of people in the audience beg me last year to do that between the press and I and not inflict it on all of you. So what I'm going to do is say thank you for coming, and I will talk to every member of the press who wants to talk. You can set up in the lobby. We'll have an interview out there. So thank you all very much for coming.